I am Carlos Reutemann. Please listen FA1 Weekly.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. This is a special podcast number 529, October 1st, 2011. This special edition of F1 Weekly featuring an exclusive conversation with one of the greats of Grand Prix racing, Carlos Reutemann of Argentina. Now, sir?
Thank you, sir. First of all, I would like to say muchas gracias to Senor Reutemann for his time. Very kind of him to come to my hotel for this conversation, which took place in Buenos Aires. Reutemann is one of only three drivers who started their F1 career from pole position. He won races for Brabham, Ferrari, and Williams, and gave Michelin their first ever victory in Formula One. This is a fascinating story of a kid who dreamed of Formula One while growing up on a farm in Santa Fe, Argentina. Special thanks to three important people who made this meeting possible: Mrs. Veronica Reutemann, Javier Naselli, who is also from Argentina and currently working in New York and put me in touch with the Reutemann familia, and my friend and Argentine F1 journalist, Ms. Juliana Anish. So please enjoy a chat with a Grand Prix great, and thank you.
Please. Okay, folks, I'm here in Buenos Aires with a gentleman who started his Grand Prix career from pole position and won three Formula One races in the United States alone, Mr. Carlos Alberto Reutemann. Great to meet you. How are you today, sir?
Okay. Nice to meet you, and nice to receive you here in Buenos Aires, and coming from the States and coming to make few questions for sure about racing, something like that.
Great pleasure and honor to be here. And before we talk about your great career, which I enjoyed very much, may I get your opinion, please, on Formula One?
So I am quite happy at my time in Formula One. It was very hard to arrive in and driving in Formula One. It was a very hard time for us, living from South America, and was very hard to drive in Europe and starting in Formula 2 at the time, and was always was difficult to arrive to the point to arrive one Formula 1. So I am very lucky to drive in few years in Formula One. I'm very lucky to drive in Formula One. I'm very lucky to be alive.
That is true. There is a very good website dedicated to your racing life. It's from a gentleman in Argentina. And you were quoted as saying, "I went from going to school on a horseback to driving a Grand Prix car for Ferrari." Certainly a great journey. Tell us a little bit about your early days growing up in Santa Fe and how you got the racing bug.
You're absolutely right. One day, I answered the same question. And I remember when I was a child, I went to the school in the horse. Because I live in the farming area, it was a small school for the people living in the farmer areas. And so we live in the farm, and the school was in one place for about 50 people from the farms went to the school, and few people went in the horse, a lot of people going in the bicycle, a lot of people went in the motorbike. So for me it was I make every day 3 miles going to the school and 3 miles to coming back. So was a very sacrificed life, and was very hard when in the middle of the travel to the school coming a big thunderstorm with lightings and big thunderstorm was I remember always was very dangerous.
How did you get the nickname which you were always known in racing, Lole?
No, this is because it's the farming area. People farming in the farming start to call me Lole about a nickname coming from the farming area.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you discover Formula One living in a farming area?
I follow at the time I living in the farm. I follow motor racing, but the local motor racing, and it's a very very special form of motor racing.
¿Cuánto te debo?
28. In Argentina was at the time of Fangio and the Galvez and people for racing in the roads in Turismo de Carretera. So we follow all these people. When I was a child, I follow this type of racing, and I love racing because I follow these people. But at the time, I talking about 1950s.
I can stop if you want to eat.
No, it's okay.
Was your dad interested in motor racing? Okay.
No.
How old were you when you decided to pursue racing as a professional career, and were mom and dad happy with your decision?
I remember I was 7 years old when I started to driving in the farm a tractor. Mm-hmm. So my daddy was very impressive because I was so small, so young, 7 years old, very small. Mm-hmm. And I started to drive in the tractor and a small car we have in the farm. And the farm is very easy to drive in because you feel very free.
It's a lot of runoff area.
I don't know, runoff area, no police, nothing. So at the age of 10 or 12 years old, I drive in normal car in the middle of the farm with no problem, no tickets, no police, and a lot of runoff area. And used to driving in the dirt. Driving in the dirt, you get a lot of driving control of the car when the car is going sideways.
Safe to assume you were driving as a 10-year-old very quick?
No, but I have facility for driving. Facility, you understand?
Yeah.
Natural driver.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you were 9 years old when Maestro won his first world championship. When was the first time you saw Fangio race at a track, and did you ever approach him for racing advice for your career?
I followed Juan Manuel Fangio's career when I was in the school, but followed by the newspapers. Because at the time, no was a communication of today. Today you see everything in internet or in television. At the time, we live in Argentina, and the performance of Fangio in Europe coming with the radio or with the newspaper. You understand? It's no chance to see Fangio racing in television.
Okay. Racing has always been very expensive. Who were the key people behind your racing career leading up to your arrival in Europe?
In 1969, the ACA, the Automobile Club of Argentina, decided to organize a Formula 2 team in Europe in 1970. So the ACA in Argentina, the Automobile Club of Argentina, organized a team in Europe with the Brabham Formula 2 team. Mm-hmm. When Jack Brabham have the factory in Weybridge in England. And so we went to race in Formula 2 in 1970. 2 Formula 2, Brabham Formula 2 engine, Cosworth engine, about 220 horsepower.
Now, Formula 2, European Formula 2 was very serious cutthroat competition. Formula 1 drivers would come and race. What was your first impression of the European racing compared to what you were used to in Argentina?
First time I went to Formula 2 racing in Europe was like a day and night compared with the time we were racing in Argentina. I remember time 1970 driving in Formula 2, Rins, Schiffer, Pierre Courage, Seder. Very good driver, very quick drivers, all very quick drivers, very competitive. Very difficult to get inside with these people, eh? Very difficult.
Yeah. Now, was there, I know you finished second in the championship to Ronnie Peterson, but before that second season was over in Formula 2 for you, was there a race or event in Europe where you had a performance where you felt, you know, I can make it in Formula 1, I can beat these guys?
Took long time to me to get to the level of the competition of the top drivers. Take long time. Take a lot of miles and a lot of experience. I think in the end of 1971, you make a comparison with Ronnie Peterson or Emerson Fittipaldi or François Sever racing the Techno. So at the time I fight for the championship. So in the end of 1971. You have the impression you are in the level of competition with these people, but took long time.
How good was Ronnie Peterson? I was a huge Ronnie Peterson fan also.
Ronnie really was very, very fast. Ronnie was, I remember driving the March, the Works March, it was very, very quick. Ronnie always was very, very fast, you know. And Ronnie and I started the same age, and I started at the same time, but always was very, very quick. Always, everybody was very much in love with Ronnie, very much, yeah.
Okay, a Formula One debut in 1972 from pole position on home ground. The crowd must have gone crazy, and I was at the track yesterday to visit the place. What do you remember most from that weekend?
Yeah, the start in Formula One was in 1972. Really, I start in Formula One in the race of champions in October 1971. Was the race of champions in Brands Hatch. And I race him with the Brabham VT33 together with Graham Hill. Graham was in the other Brabham, in the VT34. So I race him in Brands Hatch. And the day I started Formula One in Brands Hatch was the day Joseph Schiffer died in an accident with a BRM. That was my first race in Formula One. And in the meantime, end of 71, Bernie Ecclestone bought Brabham, the factory Brabham, from Black Brabham and Ron Toranac. So I started in Brabham in 1972, and I drove here in Argentina, the Brabham VT34, Graham using Brands Hatch in October 71. So I started here in Argentina with BT34, and I made the pole position with very soft set of tires, very soft.
Now, was that your idea or the team's idea to get...
No. The qualifying with... I think everybody qualified with the soft tires. And I made the pole position. I knew the circuit number 9 very well. But I make a very good lap, and I started from the pole position. I think Bernie took the decision to run me with a soft compound for the race. I think the tire was too soft for the race. I think Jackie using the hard compound, and I think he made the right choice. And I think Bernie said, okay, first time in your country, pole position, and run the soft tires, but I can't keep the pace with the soft tires, you know. I lose a lot of grip with a lot of laps. I think I finished 7th, something like that, but I can't keep the pace of the front runner with it. When the tires lose grip, lose a lot of grip anyway.
Now, one thing I noticed about your career, and being a big fan of your career, is you won 3 times in neighboring Brazil. One of the victories was Michelin's first win.
Yeah.
But you always missed out on home ground once you ran out of fuel. And I remember once you were on the podium, and it was your birthday, if I remember correctly.
In 1981, yes.
And the band played Happy Birthday with trumpet and all that. Did you get extra motivation or extra 6th-10th, as Alonso would bring, to a team when you raced on home ground?
That race in 81 was really... When I started in Europe in 1970, I started in Hockenheim in Formula 2. And I started the day of my birthday, 12 April 1970. And the race in Argentina was 12 April 1981. And I finished behind, I think Piquet won the race.
And they were helped by the...
That was the year, the 81 was the year of the big problem between the right heights, yeah, in the pits and in the... One right height in the pits and in the track, everybody using the car, it's the low, very low, to make ground effect.
I think Hector Rabac also passed you.
Yes, Hector Rabac was running behind Piquet, and that was a system, an intelligent system. Gordon Murray made it. I never understood how he worked. I think in the pit was very high, and when the car went into the track, the car taking very low right height and using the ground effect. It took a long time for the other teams to find out the way. I think William make another way around with the hydraulic system to make the car low, to using the ground effect. But I think the man who started first was Murra with the Brabham. Rebacke was second at one time of the race. But all this car was very fast, very, very fast car.
Yeah. Okay, now South Africa, 74. I was 15 years old, but I remember this day very well. Your first Grand Prix win in a Brabham. This was also the first Grand Prix win for an Argentine driver since Fangio's famous win at the Nürburgring in 1957. How does this victory stand in your memory compared to my own personal favorite Reutemann victory at Brands Hatch in 1978?
Yeah, in the race I was very close to one in Argentina in 1974 with the Brabham BT44. Mm-hmm. That Brabham Gordo Murray make was very quick car, very fast, very, very fast. And I remember in 1974 I was leading the race in Argentina for a margin of something like 25 seconds or 27 in front of Denny Hulme, and it's 2 laps to go. They start to misfire in the engine, and I stop in the last lap, 1 lap to go, and running out of fuel. I think.
How upset were you?
Running out of fuel, no more fuel, using all the fuel, I think using 33 gallons, all the fuel. I remember after the car was in the pits, we took the car and pumping the fuel out, and was a glass of 200 centimeters of fuel. So I think it was a miscalculation of the fuel consumption.
How upset were you? And did Bernie fire?
Very bad, because it was very easy. It was one lap to go, yeah, with a lot of margin, with the boot of the first 44 in my country. And always, all the Argentinians, until today, remember the day I running out of fuel, but anyway. Yeah. But not was enough fuel in the tank to finish the race.
Did Bernie...
So the next race was South Africa with the 44, and the car again was very, very quick, and was a very nice race, and the car was very fast. The BT-34 was very fast in the straight, and was a nice race to win, I think, 1 month later. But Argentina was so easy to win, because it was one lap to go with 27 seconds in front, very easy.
Did Bernie fire somebody on the spot?
I think it was a lot of problem with the... that morning, I think the mechanic find out a problem to take the wheel away from the car and to change the right rear wheel, took all the suspension away, took the upright and the rear suspension, and it took a lot of time to do the job. And I think according with Gordon at the time, Gordon said we never took all the fuel away from the car from the morning warm up to the race and checking how much fuel was the consumption, because it spent too much time. I think it took 1 hour to try to take the wheel away, and after took all the upright with the right suspension, everything, to change the wheel of the car, took all the rear suspension, and it took a long time, and I think he never checked the consumption of the car for the race. This is according with Gordon Murray, who was starting at the time. Brabham took, Bernie took Brabham from the factory, from Jack Brabham.
Now, Gordon Murray designed beautiful cars, and he himself came from South Africa. How was he to work with? Was he a pretty good guy to work with, easy guy?
Yeah, very good. And the BT-44 was a very impressive car. Everybody, when they see the car for first time, was very impressive. How small was the car, and how nice construction, how the construction of the car, the fine engineering of the car, I think... everybody was very impressive with the car. I think Gordon was very, very good designer.
And the car had beautiful martini colors. I love those.
Martini, yeah. The year after, the 1975, when he put the martini color, was very impressive. The martini colors, the white car with the martini colors, make a big impression.
The red one was also beautiful.
The red one was the Alpha. The Alpha, the Brabham Alpha, that was, I think, 1976. The red column for the Italian country, and with the martini colors in the side, was very nice, both.
Talking of Alfa Romeo engines, did you get a chance to work with Carlo Kitty? He was quite a character.
Yeah, I raced once. I made one or two races with the Alfa prototype. I think it was in 1975-76. I raced one time in Nürburgring in the long track, and after I raced in Austria. And the Alfa I drove in Austria, I have a problem in the inside the track. It took fire, the car, and so some problem with the fuel line, and that was the engine after using in Formula One. I using the engine in prototype, and the engine was a very powerful engine, but I think the engine have the power in very small amount of reps. I remember was needed using a lot of reps all the time to keep the engine very a lot of performance. I think after Alpha took the change the diagram of the power of the engine to using for Formula One. But Kitty was I knew Kitty before and was very passionate about racing. He loved racing a lot.
You did some sports car racing also. Did you enjoy sports car racing?
Yeah, I did few races with Ferrari with the 312T, the P. I think I raced in Roma, in Watkins Glen. I did two or three Le Mans. I think Le Mans 1973, I think Le Mans.
Did you enjoy sports car racing?
Not that much that compared with Formula One. No. Was Formula One was much precise.
Now we talked about Bernie Ecclestone. He is Mr. Formula One, as we all know.
Yes.
Has he ever sent you an email or a text message saying, "Hey, Carlos, it's only $30 million, and that is with X employee discount. I can bring a GP to Santa Fe or any other town in Argentina"?
When I stopped racing, I asked Bernie to organize the GP, the Formula One GP in Argentina. And always Bernie refused to speak about that. He said, "No chance. You're going to lose so much money. This is impossible to do it." So no was any chance to organize the Formula One race in Argentina. I'm talking about 1983, 1984, something like that. And Bernie was very, very refused because he said there's no possibility to make any money about the race. And I think the race came in Argentina in 94 or 95. And I think the organizers make the race 1 year or two and lose so much money that stop racing in Argentina. That was the reason stop organizing the Formula One in Argentina. I think organizing in 94 or 95, I don't remember, but lose so much money.
Now, recently there have been talks about it might come back as a street race in Buenos Aires, and Argentina has a great track, Potreros de los Funes. Do you think that track can hold a Formula One race?
I think it's possible to make the race in Argentina, or you make the race here in Buenos Aires. I think the track in Buenos Aires is fair, is okay for Formula One. Potrero is okay, but I think the problem to bring the race is the people who organize is a lot of 20 countries organize Formula One races now, and I think a lot of people are in the waiting list for organizing races. I think Argentina needed to be in the queue of the new organizers, put in the queue, plus to have, I don't know how many million dollars you need to organize the race, 50 million, 60 million, 80 million. I don't know.
Okay,
Sure is very expensive.
Oh yeah,
sure is very expensive. More expensive it is, more difficult to organize it is, because it's very difficult to make money with the race.
Yeah. Your country was strongly represented in Formula One in the 50s. Now it's been 30 years since your last victory at Zolder as a last Argentine win. What will it take to see the next Lole? Are there any young prospects who are F1 material?
Yeah, I think that it's very difficult today to put up a driver in Formula, because it's very difficult to find out the money. to finance the arrival of the driver in Formula One. I think it was very close. Pechito Lopez was very close 2 or 3 years ago, very close, and he's a very good driver. But I think it was a problem with the find out money to pay for the seat. This is the only reason. I think Argentina have a lot of potential very good drivers, no problem. But the problem is to find out $10 or $20 million to find out the seat.
You know, you mentioned Sever, Peterson, Siffert, all unfortunately died in accident. Two of your teammates were killed also, Carlos Pache in a plane crash and Gilles Villeneuve at Zolder. Can you talk a little bit about these two drivers as teammates and friends?
Yeah, both Pache was very, very quick. Very quick driver, was very quick all the time. And it was very impressive because Pache died in the accident in the plane, so nothing to do with racing. Villeneuve is a different case because I was racing in Ferrari in 1977 when Gilles arrived in Formula One. So I spent a lot of time with Gilles in the winter of 77 and 78 together in Fiorano, in Ferrari. We drove a lot of miles testing Michelin tires, make a lot of miles during the winter. So I make a good relationship with Gilles. And I think was a very nice guy, very nice, very impressive, very fast. And I think Gilles, I think in one stage, Gilles, I think in Ferrari, makes some situation with Gilles and Pironi after Gilles died. I think Gilles was make an accident, incredible accident in Zolder in 1982. But I think after the problem with Pironi in the race before in Imola, Gilles was very upset about how Ferrari reacted in the race in Imola. But I probably was the Formula One men who I make more friendly. You understand? I was very close with him because we spent too much time together. And still coming from Canada and coming from a new life, what was Formula One. So all the time Gilles asking about questions about circuit, about a lot of things. So I make a very good relationship with Gilles. And so I was very, very impressed with the accident of Gilles because I knew Gilles very well. What for me was like 50% friend and 50% son.
Really?
Yeah. Because all the time he making questions about this or that all the time. Very nice guy.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to see his picture when he won the first race in Montreal and you were also on the podium.
Face. See, he won the race in 1978.
No?
He ran the Michelin Brink 2 or 3 different compound. Him with Tomaini ran the soft compound. It was a very cold day in Canada. And he won in Canada. It was very, very nice for us because he won to home Grand Prix. No? Always everybody wants to win his home race.
Okay, 1978, you won both the U.S. races, West U.S. Grand Prix West Long Beach and the East at Watkins Glen in the beautiful Ferrari 312 T3, which is one of my favorite cars. What was your impression of American racing scene and American fans?
So, you know, well, the Glen, the Long Beach was very, very impressive, all the area of Long Beach, the Queen Mary, all the The infrastructure of the area was very impressive. California, everything was very impressive. Eh? Sí, Long Beach está en California.
Yeah. And Watkins Glen, did you like that
Watkins
place?
Watkins Glen was a very special place because I think it was in the autumn of the States, in October. Very impressive, the tree, with the color of the tree. The track is very nice, it was very, very nice. We have a big impression with the accident of Sever in the Glen, in the SS in the back. But anyway, it was a circuit, very, very nice track, very nice, very fast, very nice corner, left, right, up and down. Very natural track, very, very nice, very nice.
From 1970 to 74, a lot of racing drivers were killed. Was there ever any pressure from your family or on your own that maybe I should quit this?
No. But, you know, the impression you have... Today in Formula One you don't see this amount of accident, or if you see an accident today, the car is so safe, the material is so strong, it's no more fire in Formula One, the runoff area is very big. So the last big accident, I think the big impression we get was with Ayrton in 1994, it's a long time ago. But at that time was normal, have an accident every year, one or two every year. So you have Rin, Courage, Seifert, Ronnie, Williamson, Tom Price. You know, the material was different material. Was a lot of problem with the fire because the tanks were on the side. I think the big improvement of the car was when you put in the tank in the back of the driver. So you get a big impression when was a accident when somebody close to you was killed. You know, it's today not happened more in Formula One, but in our time, that was a hard time to live with.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Pechito Jose Maria Lopez, this US F1 debacle. Did you have any dealings with on this program with your ex-manager, Peter Windsor?
Peter once called me about this project, and the only question he asked me, he ran one time, and I said, he asked me about how good was Pechito Lopez. If, in my opinion, Lopez was in position to drive in a Formula One. And I said, the guy make a very good impression, I think have the ability to drive in a Formula One. But about his project, about the project of his Formula One within the States, I really never took contact with the people organizing. I never knew anything about this project, no idea. The only question I answered was about the condition of Lopez, like a racing driver, but all the organization or how the people organizing to make a Formula, I never knew nothing about that, no.
But given your experience, and you're a very smart, knowledgeable person, given your experience and you're smart and knowledgeable, did you really think a project based in North Carolina will succeed?
No idea about that. No, I never knew. First, I don't know the place. I don't know I don't know nothing. I have no idea about that. No, I repeat, the only question I answer to Windsor is about the condition of Lopez, about the structure of the team, how the team organized, where the team was based, who was behind the team, who put the organization. No idea. No idea about nothing. The only answer was about Pechito. That's it. Who was a lot of problem in Argentina because Windsor come to Argentina and talking about the project. So after the project went down, was a lot of answer with no, a lot of questions with no answers in Argentina. But I never was involved in the project, no idea about that. No idea.
Is Peter Windsor visa to Argentina still valid?
No. I think he come one to Argentina and explain to the people what happened, but I really don't know. No, I can't answer because I don't know.
Okay, now one question I'm sure you can answer.
I know was in North Carolina or...
Okay, one question I'm sure you can answer. Ferrari team, you were there, and you know you always hear politics at Ferrari. What was your experience and how was your relation? You speak Italian, I would imagine.
Si.
How was your relationship with Signor Enzo Ferrari and Mr. Mauro Forghieri?
I was in a hard time with Ferrari because 1977 and 78, the time I was in Ferrari, was the time of the starting of the ground effect. So 1978, we fighting against the Lotus 79 of Chapman, the ground effect, you know, of the new era is the Lotus 79. The cars Mario, I think, started sold in 1978. Was a fantastic car. It's the car of the new generation of the ground effect. So for us, to fight in against that technology was very tough. Is the new generation of technology, the ground effect, the Lotus 79. So in 1978, against that technology, I won four races with the Ferrari, with the T3. But anyway, I think Mario won six. I won four. But in Ferrari, in Ferrari, the only way to be success is if you win all the time. Yeah. It's not too much answer in Ferrari. You need to make result all the time. Now, I think at the time Ferrari was leaving, I think it was much harder. Very tough.
I remember
Ferrari was all the time in command of the, you know, of the team also. It was a very tough time.
But how was your relationship in dealing with Mr. Ferrari?
All the time I was in Fiorano, Ferrari was very nice, invite to the house in Fiorano, sometimes went to eat al ristorante El Cavallino. He have a fantastic relationship with Gil. Very nice, very impressive. I think he treats Gil like a grandson.
Yeah.
All the time. Was very, very happy with Gil. You see in his face how happy was Enzo with Gil all the time. He treated like a grandson.
Yeah, there's a picture of him kissing his head. It's so beautiful. 78 French Grand Prix, you made a lot of pit stops, and because you guys were on Michelin.
In the Castellet.
Yeah.
So I think make 5 pit stops. Yeah, we make so many pit stops because I tried to test for Michelin. In Le Castellet was very hot, and him Dupasquier said, okay, we tried to make this race like a testing for tires. I think I made 5 pit stops.
But you had the fastest lap.
I make the fastest lap because I have a new set, very soft, and I make a very fast lap.
Okay. I asked Jackie Ickx this question because he had driven for Italian teams and British teams in racing. You've done the same. Who has more passion for motor racing, British people or Italian?
No, I don't understand.
Who has more passion for motor racing, British people or Italian people?
Yeah, I think The Italian people are passionate, are big passion only, not only for motor racing, are big passion for football, for the sport, for motorbike, for Valentino Rossi, for Giacomo Agostini, for, you know, a big, but the people, the British people, is the country where the engineering of Formula One are, you know, the British people are, they make this engineering of making Formula One is coming from Britain. And the, you know, one case, very special case is in when Ferrari took John Barnard to Maranello. So this is a British team arriving in Italy. And Barnard, I think, made the antenna in Guildford, no? So that was the beginning of an Italian team become British. When Barnard arriving in Italy was the beginning of Britain arrive in Italy to make in a Formula racing car.
Okay. Jacques Arepagua.
This is my view. This is my special point of view.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Okay, Jacques Arepagua, 1981. Williams 1-2 led by Carlos Reutemann. You are happy, I am happy, but the team and your teammate are not happy. And a lot has been written about this in the press. What is your side of the story, por favor? Did you or did you not see the pit signals?
Yeah, I see the sign, but this I think if I dropped the throttle for
John,
yeah, to leave the race, give the race away, it's better to stop motor racing. No was any reason to continue to motor racing anymore.
No,
that was the only reason.
Okay. Now, was that in the contract?
That I think that was the beginning of the bad situation we live in all 1981 in the team, because everybody was upset. John was upset, Head was upset with me, William was upset, but anyway, c'est la vie.
Yeah. Question, was that in your contract that you were number two?
Yes, yes, yes. I think in the contract was if Jones was 6 or 8 seconds behind. 6 or 8, I don't remember very well. I think 6 or 8.
Okay.
If I was in front and the margin was 6 or 7 seconds, I agree to just pass me in the race. Yeah.
Okay, the other was Las Vegas 1981. You were leading the championship into final season. I started the race from pole. What went wrong with the car then? What happened there?
I think in the championship of 81, I don't lose the championship in the last race. This is the end of the history, but I think we start to lose the championship every race since William changed from Michelin to Goodyear.
Oh.
Because at the time we are with Michelin, I make about 40, 41 points or 42, I don't remember, I need to see the book. With Michelin I make about 40, 42 points. And since we race with Woody, I make 6 points.
No,
I think it took long time for William to understand how the Woody are working in the car. The day went to try to Silverstone, took Michelin away and put Goodyear in the car, I think Brabham was 1.5 seconds faster than William. I think the Goodyear was much better for Brabham compared with William. William worked very hard to adapt the Goodyear to the car. Took long time. So Las Vegas, in the end of the history, but the race before in Canada was a complete disaster in the rain. I have a lot of problem with all the time with the performance of the car compared with William with Michelin, and compared with Goodyear, the performance was completely different.
But as far as the last question on this, as far as the Vegas race is concerned, was there a problem with the car or with the tire that you did not even finish on
no,
the points?
I normally drove one chassis in practice in Las Vegas. I think it was chassis 14 or 12, but was very handy, very well. And in the Saturday morning practice or Friday afternoon, I think I touched Nelson with the car, and I bent one fan upright. And after this problem, the car never handled the same. So I choose the other car for the race, and that car never was exactly the same. That's it.
Okay. Now one thing
plus. We have a lot of problem with find out the exact set of quick tires. At that time was a lot of problem with the diameter of the tires. One set of tires was quick, one set of tires make you understeering, another set make oversteering. Was a big problem with the diameter of the rear tires. A lot of problem.
Now, I read in one of your interviews, you were asked, why did you not put Piquet in the wall to win the championship? And we've seen that happen many times.
No.
And you said you did not want to win that way. You still feel the same way?
Yeah, I think Piquet was... I think Piquet started the race in Las Vegas with a lot of attention about this problem, because he had this problem the year before in Canada. So I think Piquet was thinking very much in the possibility somebody took off him from the race. But anyway, I never think it in that possibility.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, 1982, you started the season with a podium finish, and after the second round you said no mas. What was the main reason for walking away from a competitive car?
Why? Because I raced the year before in 1981 in Jacarepaguá. And I knew how I feeling in 1981 in Jacarepaguá, in the same track, in Rio de Janeiro, in the same place. And I knew how I feeling a year after, in 1982, and both day and night.
Really?
So when I find out both day and night, and was the same place, the same track, the same sun, the same Ipanema, the same, everything the same, and I find out my feeling was absolutely different compared with the year before. I think something is wrong. I think the big mistake I make in 1982 was stay in Williams for another year. I think the only chance for me was jumping to another team and racing in 82 with a new team. Any team.
Was that a possibility?
I think was the possibility. Any team. I think the team who ran in last.
Okay.
No problem. But I think after the big mistake was coming back to the same place. I lose the championship with 1 point. That was the big mistake.
Okay.
Well, anyway, William won the 82 the championship with Keke.
Did that bother you?
Yeah, no. But for myself, was better for change the climax.
Yeah. Good. Okay, now, I'm coming to the last few questions. You raced and won against some of the best, Jochen Rindt, Mario Andretti, Peterson, Fittipaldi. In the time you were racing, who would you select as your two drivers if you were a team owner in the decade you raced in Europe? And this is my favorite question to racing drivers. What I want to know is, who are the best two drivers when you raced, apart from you?
When I raced?
Yes.
At the time I raced, who was the best at the time?
Two of the best, apart from Carlos Reutemann.
if I was to pick up two to race in my team, I pick Clark and Rin.
Jim Clark and Jochen Rin. Yeah. Can't argue on that. Okay. Latin America has produced many great racing drivers. One of them won the Mercedes Celebrity Race at the revised Nürburgring in 1984. You were in that race,
yes.
In the rain. Tell me about that race and the winner, young winner, please.
I remember the race with the Mercedes 190 in Nürburgring. And I finished third. And I remember one Mercedes 190 overtook me very easy.
Did you know who it was then?
No. So I said, "Christ, this guy is quick, is good." And that guy was Ayrton Senna.
Did you get to know him personally later in life?
No, not very much, no. But the guy was very so fast, and nothing. It was very impressive, and the guy was Senna, so Senna was brilliant guy, brilliant rider.
Okay, your favorite racing track, and what did you think of Rouen, where you raced in Formula 2?
Well, it's a natural track. I like natural tracks like Brands Hatch, Spa. I don't like the new tracks in the world now. The new era of the Formula 1. I think the tracks are very too artificial. I think I like tracks, natural tracks, like I love Brands Hatch, I love Spa-Francorchamps, up and down with natural corner. I don't like too much from outside. I never race in the new tracks, but the new track look like it's a computer designed the corner.
Brands Hatch.
Watling Glen is another natural track. Natural track.
Will you please?
Maybe the new this is. I'm talking about my generation. Maybe the new generation of people driving today in Formula One love the new track because a lot of drivers now start to drive with the PlayStation. So driving the PlayStation in this type of track, you understand? I think we can't miss the generation. One generation is Stefano, another generation is my generation, and this generation probably because start to driving with the PlayStation, love this type of track.
I have yet to hear one young driver say Bahrain is better than Spa or Suzuka. It won't happen.
No.
Yeah. Okay, now very important.
The new drivers complaining about the new tracks or the design are very safe, but the corners are very, very strange.
Nothing like Eau Rouge.
No.
Yeah. Okay, you mentioned Brands Hatch. Will you please tell our listeners in your own words what happened in the closing stages of the 1978 British Grand Prix, one of my favorite races?
You know, 1978, I was very lucky. A lot of people in front of me broke the engine or broke the, I don't know what broke, anyway.
But you passed your ex-teammate.
Yes, but anyway, and in the end was a big fighting with Lauda was very fast. I think Lauda was very fast I overtook Niki with Giacomelli in the middle. I think I passed inside and Lauda outside, I don't remember. I think when I went inside, and Lauda was outside, something like that. And him was leading the race, and normally when you arrive into back marker, probably this problem happens. It's more easy, the guy coming behind, yeah, to see the hole to go in. But anyway, I was very lucky. I took the right decision, took the right, and him took the left. And I took the lead for 2 or 3 seconds and something like that, but was 5 or 6 laps to go, and after Nicky came very fast and was very close. I think two or three more laps and I was in trouble.
Was Ferrari team really happy you beat the guy who walked away from them?
No, Ferrari no worth very lot of emotion at that time. I think we have a lot of problems in 1978 in the middle of the year against the ground effect, against the tires, against the different compound, different. Was a hard time. Middle of 78 was a hard time.
Last question is the most important. Your daughter Cora has a young son. If someday he comes to you and say, "Grandpa, what did you do in racing?" What top three achievements you will be proud to tell him?
I think it's going to be difficult to him to understand what happened with me because it's a lot of difference in age.
But he's
absolutely crazy about helicopters. So I really don't know. He's crazy about helicopters. So all day, every day, I play helicopter and he's very happy when I see flying the helicopter and all the time. But it's crazy about helicopters.
But you know,
but he's 2 years old. The most important thing is to arrive in Formula One. And for me, the most important thing is to go out alive. Because in my generation, about 17 guys die from my starting to the end. Start with Jochen Rindt in 1970 or Pierre Courage in 1969. Follow Seifert, follow Revson, follow Williamson, follow Sever. Follow Bonnier, Helmut Koenig, 17.
If there was one race you could race one more time that you won, which one would that be?
Race again, one race?
Yes.
Pick up my race or if I like?
Your race.
My race, Barkhart's.
78?
78.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time. Finally, we have a lot of listeners in South America, everywhere. Would you like to say a message to them, please?
No, South American people are very big fan of motor racing. It's a lot of fun. A lot of people follow motor racing. And it's a lot of people racing in Argentina in different categories. Small, big, in the country, in rallies, it's a lot of people fan of motor racing. It's a big passion in Argentina, motor racing, very big passion. Okay.
Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias.
Great honor to meet you.
Carlos Reutemann, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.